ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 12. Natasya kaschit tapasa vidyayava. Na yoga viryena manasiyava. नैवार्थ धर्मे परतः स्वतो वाम कृतं विहन्तुं तनुबृद् विभूयात् नातस्य कश्चित् तपसः विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनसीय वा नैवात धर्मे परतः स्वतो वाम कृतं विहन्तुं तनुबृद् विभूयात् नातस्य कश्चित् तपसः विद्यया वाम न योगवीर्येण मनसीय वाम नैवात धर्मे परतः स्वतो वाम कृतं विहन्तुं तनुबृद् विभूयात् Matajis, word for word, na, never, tasya, his, kaschit, anyone, tapasa, by austerity, vidyayam, by education, va, or, na, never, yoga, by power of mystic yoga, viryena, by personal strength, manisaya, by intelligence, va, or, na, never, eva, certainly, artha, by material opulence, dharmahe, by the power of religion, Parataha, by any external power. Svataha, by personal endeavor. Va, or, kritam, the order. Vihantum, to avoid. Tanubrit, a living entity who has accepted a material body. Vibhuyat, is able. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One cannot avoid the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not by the strength of severe austerities, an exalted Vedic education, or the power of mystic yoga, physical prowess, or intellectual activities. Nor can one use his power of religion, his material opulence, or any other means, either by himself or with the help of others, to defy the orders of the Supreme Lord. That is not possible for any living being from Brahma down to the ant. Purport. In the Garga Upanishad, Garga Muni says to his wife, Etasya va aksarasya prasane gargisurya chandramaso vidrito tistataha. My dear Gargi, everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the sun, the moon, and the other controllers and demigods, like Lord Brahma and King Indra, are all under his control. An ordinary human being or animal who has accepted a material body cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's control. A material body includes senses. However, the sense activities of so-called scientists who try to be free from God's law or the laws of nature are useless. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Mama maya duratyaya. It is impossible to surpass the control of material nature, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is working behind it. Sometimes we are proud of our austerities, penances, and mystic yogic powers, but it is clearly stated herein that one cannot surpass the laws and directions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either by dint of mystic power, a scientific education, or austerities and penances. It is impossible. The word manisaya, by intelligence, is of special significance. Priyavrata might argue that Lord Brahma was requesting him to accept family life and the responsibility of ruling a kingdom, although Narad Muni had advised him not to enter household life and to be entangled in material affairs. Whom to accept would be a puzzle for Priyavrata, because both Lord Brahma and Narad Muni are authorities. Under the circumstances, the use of the word manisaya is very appropriate, for it indicates that since both Narad Muni and Lord Brahma are authorized to give instruction, Priyavrata should neglect neither of them, but should use his intelligence to follow the advice of both. To solve such dilemmas, Srila Rupa Goswami has given a very clear conception of intelligence. He says, Anashaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Vishayan means material affairs should be accepted without attachment, and everything should be dovetailed with the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence, manisa. Becoming a family man or king in the material world is not harmful if one accepts everything for Krishna's service. That necessitates clear intelligence. Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma satyam jagan mitya. This material world is false and the only absolute truth is real. However, an intelligent devotee in the line of Lord Brahma and the great sage Narad, or in other words, in the Brahma Sampradaya, does not consider this world false. That which is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be false, but using it for enjoyment is. Everything is meant to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme proprietor and enjoyer, and therefore everything should be dovetailed for his enjoyment and service. Regardless of one's circumstances, favorable or unfavorable, one should use everything to serve the Supreme Lord. That is the perfect way to use one's intelligence.
Swayam Rupa. Rupakadamayaham Tadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavanamusta Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanamusta Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasatya Desatarine Namo Mahavadinaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurati Vishenamaha Vancha Kalpa Turubhyastya Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna So we discussing and learning about a very wonderful section of the Bhagavatam. We're in the fifth canto and the first chapter, and we're learning about the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. But as of this moment, he's not a Maharaj as yet. He's still as a prince. And Swayambhuva Manu and Brahma and Narad, they are three discussing of how to engage him in the universal service of the Lord, in the universal order. So, before we start discussing about the pastime, I always like to try to use the verse as a meditation through the day. Because for many of us, the Bhagavatam class is like the only formal class that we listen to due to service and activities, right? So how to keep the wonderful nectar, the wonderful teachings of the Bhagavatam within the mind and within the heart. So it's nice to try to remember some part of the verse so that you can, whenever through the day some types of difficulties come by, or when you have some time, you can always remember what the Bhagavatam was trying to share with us today. So just in summary, we summarize the translation into one word, siram, S-I-R-E-A-M. So the translation of the purport of the translation, Prabhupada is translating it as that one should not try to avoid or defy the Lord. And he gives either by strength, S for strength, I for intelligence, R for religion, E for education, A for austerities, and M for mystic yoga. So if you put that all together, it's S-I-R-E-A-M. And if you remember this word, you'll remember these items that Krishna was, the Bhagavatam was trying to share with us today. Siram, S-I-R-E-A-M. One cannot avoid the order of the Lord either by strength, by intelligence, by religion, by education, by austerity, or by mystic yoga. So it's a nice meditation through the day. Just reading the Sanskrit, many of us don't know Sanskrit, right? So what will the value of that verse be for us through the day as a guide? So by summarizing like this, it helps us to remember the verse through the day. So what is the acronym again? Serum, yes. So you'll remember it through the day. And at the end of it, it says, neither by opulence, even from Brahma right down to the ant. So, up Brahma Bhruvana Loka, Punavarjuna Arjuna, right from the top, right to the bottom level, everyone is a servant of the Lord, and one has to abide by the rules of the place, right? You cannot just go into an environment and expect to do our own activity in there. Mm? So, Prabhupada, today we'll learn at least two things that can help us through today. One, a very wonderful definition of intelligence given by Rupa Goswami. So that can help us through the day. And secondly, what is our order given to us by the Lord as devotees? Because this translation today is strongly emphasizing this point of that one, if one is given an order, one should execute that order. Right at the end, Prabhupada says, regardless of whether it's favorable or unfavorable, at the end of the purport. And sometimes it's not so easy, right? We know Prabhupada himself didn't accept his order immediately. He once said that when Krishna sent me to the material world, then I didn't want to come here. Same situation with Priyavrata Maharaj, right? He doesn't want to do this work. But he understood that my eternal situation is to serve Krishna. And if this service can please Krishna, then what is higher than that? If Krishna is pleased by this. So Prabhupada also was in a similar situation to Priyavrata Maharaj, that he was asked to do this service of preaching Krishna consciousness in this material world. Not an easy thing to do, especially in this age. So Prabhupada starts the purport then in a very nice way. He quotes Garga Muni. Jai Sri Sri Radhe Shyam Krishna Balaram Gonitai Ki Jai. So he quotes Garga Muni as saying that everything, speaking to his wife, that everything should be used in the service of the Lord. And everyone should abide by the rules, the law of the Lord. Even the sun and the moon, he gives the example. And even that of Brahma and Indra. Now usually, when we hear quotations of Brahma, then the next demigod or the deity that is called is Shiva. But in this verse, it says Brahma and Indra. And it's very interesting. Why? Because these two great personalities made this mistake of misunderstanding the order, the supremacy of the Lord in the Vrindavan pastimes. So it's a very interesting quote that even Brahma is not an ordinary person, as we've been hearing. In the course of this chapter, we hear how when they received Brahma, then they, even their language to him changed. They spoke in higher language, it said. More complicated, more dexterous language, because can you imagine Brahma, his body is made of intelligence. So if you're going to communicate with somebody whose body is made of intelligence, then you have to actually even speak on that level. So an interesting point there, that even the communication with Brahma was done on a higher level. So everything is under the control of Krishna, of the Lord. And Prabhupada, of course, it won't be any excitement if Prabhupada does not clarify the scientific position and the Mayavadi position. And we're lucky in today's purport we have both of it. So just then the sun and the moon, it's interesting that Garga Muni quotes this, because Priyavrata is asked to rule. And by rule, one creates culture, one creates dynasty. We know Krishna is born in the moon dynasty. That's why he's born at what time? At midnight. And Lord Ramachandra is born in the sun dynasty. And what time is he born? At midday. 12 o'clock midday. So it's interesting though that they're using these concepts of the moon and the sun to say that these are powerful aspects of creation, but they are not independent. They are also under the control of the Lord. How many of you have heard of the Hanuman Chalisa? Yeah, you have? So there's one verse in the Hanuman Chalisa that's quite interesting, right? It's the second one. It goes Yug Sahasra Yojana Par Danu Banu. Yeah, somebody knows it? Yeah, you can say it? Yeah. Wow, he doesn't have the Devanagari script, so I'm not sure that. But thank you. Yeah. So that verse explains something very interesting about the sun. We know the pastime when Hanuman misunderstood the sun for a fruit, right? And then he tried to eat it, right? Now, there's a very interesting scientific phenomena in this verse. If you take the word yug, in calculation, it's 12,000 years, right? Yug, the next word is sahasra. Sahasra means 1,000. So 12,000, 1,000, and yojana is, what is the measurement of one yojana? 8 miles, right? So it's 8, let's work the easy one first. 1,000 times 8. 8,000. 8,000 times 12,000. It's a big number. It comes to 96. 12 eights are 96. So it comes to 96 million miles, right? Now, if you convert that to kilometers, it works out to 153,600,000 kilometers. That's the distance that NASA, the scientific body of the cosmos, of that's regarded as an authority in this field, it says that the distance between the Earth and the Sun is about there, 150 million kilometers. This was given in Hanuman Chalisa. Of course, it's mythology, right? Yes, they won't believe it, but it's right here in the verse. It's right here. You can see the whole calculation out. So it's not just, you know, mythology to deny, because if you don't accept the order of the Lord, then you don't accept His existence. And that's the fundamental flaw of science, that it doesn't want to accept the existence of the Lord. But if you accept the existence of the Lord, naturally you will follow. You're obliged to follow, right? You will not make a mistake that it's not real. Of course it's real. And we see Priyavata also, towards the end of this pastime, he also was not too happy about the sun's position. We'll read about it later on, that half of the sun was creating light on half of the universe and the other half was dark. So then he wanted perennial sunshine. So he created his own tract for the sun to travel on. And by the wheels of his chariot, he created the seven oceans that we hear about and which are filled with different things. One of them is Jambadweep. Now, we know the moon has a reflection of it that looks like what? It looks like a rabbit. And that reflection is actually the shadow from Jambadweep. That's what is described. So it's very interesting how this fits in, because if you take it isolated, it's very difficult just to put faith in something on the basis of faith. We want to have genuine information on it. We want to have bona fide information on it. That's why, and the next part of the purport, Prabhupada says, one cannot surpass the control of the Lord. This is the fault of science, because by trying to not see the hand of the Lord working in it, then you try to surpass it because you try to use your intelligence. The E in serum stood for, who was listening? Education, very good. Education, right? In the translation, Prabhupada translates it as Vedic education. In the purport, he puts it as scientific education. But it's the same point, that if you try to use your intellect to try to figure out the Lord, who we know tried to do this in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu, he thought he could figure out, same with Brahma also, he thought he could figure out the whole thing. Not inside, not outside, not up, not down. The whole thing. He figured the whole thing out, and then he realized, now I can deny the Lord. So the higher level of consciousness, like Prabhupada says in the end, this Bhokta Jagyatapasyanam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that Krishna is the supreme enjoy. If you deny this point, it's very interesting as the translation Prabhupada says right in the beginning, that one is on a higher level of consciousness. If you read the Bhagavad Gita verse of that translation of that verse, the first line goes, one who's in a higher level of consciousness sees like this. So what is expected? That in order to understand these subtle affairs of the universal order, one has to be in a higher level of consciousness. That's Krishna consciousness. So one has to lift his consciousness up. We cannot understand everything by pratyaksha, by direct sense perception, and by inference, by anuman. If we try to just to understand, our main source of knowledge is by sight, mainly in the material world. We understand everything by sight, right? We understand when we look, and this is why science has become so dominant. Because by using the telescope and using the microscope, they have rejected religion and the basis of religion. But as we showed this Hanuman Chalisa verse, this was written when? Before telescopes and microscopes were invented, right? But yet it gave the closest distance as they calculated. How amazing is that? So you can't understand everything just by sight. Human sight is not that perfect. We can only see maybe 20/20 vision, right? But animals even have greater vision than us, right? Like eagles can see much greater than we can. Even at night, like the lion can see 6 times more than human vision. And it can even see at night. If we don't have light, we can't see, right? So what is the reality of life to that animal? Is that the absolute reality? Do you know this creature called a chameleon? A chameleon, I don't know what's the Hindi local name for it. Yeah? Cricket? No, not cricket. Yeah, something like Kshira or something. Okay, yes, the one that changes colors. If you see its eyes move in different directions, independent of each other. What is that animal seeing? If you had to use that as the basis of Praman to understand the world, what is that animal seeing? So just by using sight, you cannot get perfect knowledge. We need Shabda Brahman. We need Shabda Brahman. And by receiving Shabda Brahman in the bona fide way, then that knowledge is perfect. That's authorized knowledge. It's perfect knowledge. Because we're definitely going to make mistakes by science. Now, Prabhupada explains how the defect of science is that they're not accepting the spiritual nature of it. Science only explores the material world externally. But if you go deeper and see, especially in modern science, in aspects of quantum mechanics and things like that, you'll see the reality of spiritual life exists there. So the very thing they're studying in this field is actually showing that there's a divine source, there's spirituality to understanding the basis of life. And if we have this understanding, then there's no way one can deny the order of the Lord, like today's verse is saying. Usually we just accept things because it's told, right? But use intelligence a bit, like Prabhupada is going to explain a bit about intelligence. Now, you know, in language, when something is written and it's stated, at the end we have ETC, etc. What does that mean? Etc. It goes on. But another interesting definition of it, ETC, end of thinking capacity. That's why they say ETC. Because they got nothing more to say on it. Because it's imperfect. End of thinking capacity. What more can you say on it? That's all you've extrapolated, right? So there's much more information about things than that, right? Now, there's three fields of modern thought that are very interesting, that's very relevant here, because it actually explains the spiritual nature of the basis of life. Now, when you speak about studying theology and things like that, then usually it's scriptural based. But these scientists, we have like our Bhaktivedanta Institute, and there's a wonderful devotee called Ishwara Krishna Prabhu who's released this book on nature's IQ. And it's showing how 100 examples from nature, that if you accept these examples by the logic they're presenting, you'll definitely come to the understanding that there's a supreme creator, that there's a God. So we want to use three aspects today, just for our preaching activity and for our own personal conviction, to understand that there is definitely, beyond just our internal, intimate relationship with the Lord, that there is definitely scientific proof that there is a supreme being, that there is God, something called God, that we call this concept God. So we'll just discuss three fields of it. We won't get into too much detail, but we'll just discuss three fields that you can think about as I'm saying, and you can use in your own explanations as you trying to convince your own self. Because the difference between Shraddha and Prema is just faith. And faith is the thing that helps, that actually makes us either deny the laws of the Lord or accept the laws of the Lord to that degree. So if our faith is, if we convinced very deeply, there's nothing that can shake it. It's strong faith, firm faith. It's not kamal, supple faith. So we want to root that deeply in our consciousness first as a basis for developing our relationship with Krishna. Therefore, when we try to share this, because as I said, we also have an order by Lord Chaitanya. So we'll discuss that last. And how to execute that order if our faith is not strong enough in what we're doing? So three very basic principles then. There's three basic arguments that modern philosophers and scientists use that make them shoot themselves in the foot. That you cannot deny the existence of God through this three. One is the cosmological or the universal understanding. Understanding that they call it the Big Bang thing, right? So if there was a Big Bang, there must be somebody who banged it, right? Who set it off? There must be somebody there. Just like if there's a beginning, there must be a beginner. There must be something that has started it off. Nothing comes from just nothing, right? Aristotle was very famous for saying this, that nothing is just what rocks dream about. Rocks just are inert. It's just, what do you know what a rock is thinking? That you can call nothing. Otherwise, there's no such thing as nothing. Everything comes from something. There must be a source of it. So that's the cosmological argument, that the creation of the universe has definitely been come about by a creative source. There's many arguments given on that, but if we just take the basis of it, that if there's a Big Bang, there must be somebody who banged it, who created it. If there's and that person is existing beyond the dimension of this time and space. He's existing in a realm which is out of this. If he's within this, that means he succumbs to the laws of this. But we know the laws of nature under Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna is the controller of this. Prabhupada quotes that verse in the purport also. So if he's controlling, then let's appreciate his value on that. So that first, the cosmological argument that of nature. Then second is the technical word is called the teleological or the design argument, that there is design in nature. And if you look at nature, study nature, I'm sure you did this in school, right? One of the first things we see is that at the basis of what we are is DNA. We heard of DNA? Yeah? The DNA structure of the cell, right? This structure is so minute and it contains all the information of that organism. It said it has 1,000 Britannica encyclopedias in one cell contained in the DNA. Now, DNA is message code. So if there's a prescription, a message, there must be a prescriber, somebody who prescribed this message. Isn't it? There must be somebody who wrote this message code. Otherwise, how do we get variety like this? You know, animals, even amongst humans, there's variety. So there must be somebody who put this message in the cell, which develops into an organism, which develops into a person, or whatever different entity. So that's the first one. Then chemicals. If we see, if we just chemicals, as they say, then what is the difference? The human brain is so sophisticated, but yet in the basis of it is none different from a lump of sand. It has a carbon base. So as a base of that, carbon base is the base of life, they say. So what is the difference then? If it's just chemicals, how can we have emotions? How can we have the desire to love, the desire to live? Chemicals has desire to live? How do we have these things? So there's more to it than just these. So these are. This is the second argument. Then the nature of the way the earth is designed, this place which we live on, earth, right? There is 24 hours in a day. If there was one more hour, every other cycle of the earth would go off. So it's perfectly designed to tune into life. It's perfectly designed for life. If you deny this, you deny the existence of God. You deny the law of God, as this translation is saying. There's the earth is tilted at a certain axis, right? What is that? 23, I think, 23% tilt like that. If it was a little bit more lower, we'll freeze to that. Little more higher, we'll become pakoras. Right? So perfectly aligned. So perfectly aligned. There's examples of birds just being born. And immediately within a few hours, they fly thousands of miles to an unknown place just by the guidance of super soul, instinct they call it. How is this happening? How does a baby know when a baby of an animal is born, how does it know where to find the mother's milk? How does it know? Who's telling it? So these questions have to be answered. There's deeper understanding of life than just the combination of chemical things like this. And if you accept that, then of course you cannot deny that there must be a supreme controller. Maya Dakshena Prakriti. Krishna is controlling the whole thing. So just as an example, just to show, there's this amazing scientific formula called the Fibonacci series. I don't know if anybody's heard of this. It's also called the Gödel mean. And it's a set of numbers. Now, how can, if the world, if the universe was created by just some blast, it's chaotic, it's random, there's no set idea of understanding it, right? If something just explodes, it'll go anywhere. There can't be any formality in it. But how can you use then science, which is mathematics, which is proper calculation, to work out something like that then? It's foolish. As the ultimate understanding, it's foolish to do that. Because if your philosophy is that it's random, it's just goes in all directions and there's no structure to it, there's no controller behind it, then it, how would you use maths? Maths is systematic. But we can see that if you study closer nature, it has this amazing formula in it. It's a mathematical formula. And it goes like this, very simply. If you take one to few numbers, right? 1 plus 2 is 3. And then you take one number before, 2. 2 plus 3 is 5. And then 5 plus 3 is 8. And 8 plus 5, 13. And 13 plus 8, 24. And 24 plus 13, 34. No, 21. Yes, 21 plus 13, 34, right? So you see that it moves in a spiral like this. And we see this with the corn shell. We see this with entities that are born in the ocean. And if you look at the human body, it's also designed with this Fibonacci series. So how can nature be so mathematical if there's no controller? Let a scientist answer that one. How can it be so mathematical if there's no controller behind it? There's another quick example. This is the ohm sign, which was sounded through an instrument called the tonoscope. And the diagram comes on the other side. And when they took, this is the diagram. When they took the diagram and matched it to the Vedas, they found it matches the Sri Yantra perfectly. How can that be by chance? Right? So there is definitely some order in all of this. There is definitely some systematic order in this, right? So just the last example, it'll just take 1 minute. It's a little puzzle that I thought my mathematics professor, he taught me this, and he said, this proves that God exists. And I said, how? How is that possible? Just by mathematics, you can prove something like that. He says, well, if there's order, there must be an order. If there's law, there must be a lawmaker. If there's order, there's somebody who provided the order. Right? So we'll just take 1 minute for this. I'm sorry, it's not an orthodox class, but we're trying to learn something. Right? So if we can learn this point, we can share this point. And we can share it with people in a logical way. Right? This is a system of numbers. This is the last example, right? 1, 2, 4, 5, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, right? So I need somebody to pick three numbers, three different people. Prabhu, pick a number. Number two, okay. So if you pick number two, I'll just circle it, and then I'll strike it off. Like that, right? So now I need to pick a number that's not struck off. Some of these numbers or some of these numbers? Anybody? Seven. Okay. So seven. And then I'll strike it off and strike it off. And then you got four numbers left now. These two and these two. 13. Okay. Before we go on, I've written a number down here, right on this paper before I started. Right, and then I've predicted some number. I wrote it here, and then we'll calculate after. So you chose 13, right? So 13 is here, and we'll scratch off there, and we'll scratch off here. Right, so the number that's empty is 12, and then you chose 2, and 7 is? 2 plus 7? 9, and 9 plus 13? 21. 21 and 12? 34. Right? And I've predicted also. Right, just to show you that it's not a trick, that you can also do this, that it's mathematical, we'll try it again. Okay, quickly. Choose a number? 5. Okay, number 5. And I'll cancel off and cancel off. Okay, you got numbers on top here and some on this side. Huh? 3. Okay. 3 and cancel off here. You got two numbers here and two numbers here. Huh? 10. Okay. You got two numbers. Okay, the last number is 16 then. So we got 3 plus 5 is
18 plus 16, 34. Again. So is this by chance? If this is just a sequence of numbers, and you can try this at home, no matter what sequence you take, you'll always get the answer 34. And then my professor asked me, he says, so now do you believe that God exists? I said, well, I'm trying to tell you that, you know. How can you always get the same thing? Just like in the material world, it looks like there's no controller, like our verse is saying today. There's no controller. There's nobody controlling it. It's random. It's just going on. But how are we always getting 34? I mean, there's some control there. There must be some system. And that system, if you understand, it's important, because one in full consciousness develops this understanding, like that verse is saying. So we want to develop to that point. So that's the end of the scientific class. Now we'll get back into the verse. But it's interesting that if you can use these examples in our preaching and understand it, how come life is so systematic like this? Then life makes sense. We're always trying to make sense of life, right? Right. So Prabhupada goes on then to describe what is intelligence. Very interesting. He quotes Rupa Goswami. Anasaktasya vishaya yatatam upayunjitam nirbandha krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uttate. Because Brahma and Narada are both Mahajans, and they're both instructing to Priyavrata that this is what is expected of you. And one is saying something and one is saying something else. You ever had that experience in your spiritual life where you approach two authorities and they're both saying different things, especially if completely different? Then what do you do? So he's in that same situation. And he's a little, his desire is to be brahmachari, to practice, to remember the lotus feet of the Lord always. But he has a duty to perform. Therefore, he's trying to find out, what should I do now then? So Brahma is encouraging him, Narada is encouraging him, and Prabhupada says that it takes intelligence. If one is intelligent, then he knows how to use the system. And what is that intelligence? To use material vishaya, material attachments, material things, but not to be attached to it, and to dovetail it in the service of the Lord. That is the secret. Whatever we have, use it in to the best degree. Analyze that part of the statement, not to be attached in it. It's the difficult part of life, because we naturally get attached to things. So it's very natural to get attached to things that we always use. So Prabhupada, in the next part of the purport, he explains about the Mayavadis. That Mayavadis, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. Yes, that the world is the so-called false. And Prabhupada very clearly says there, how can the Lord create something false? If everything He's created works so amazingly like this, how can He create something that's false? So it's not possible. The eternality and understanding of the world is that it's controlled by a supreme controller. And that is an Adi Purusha, it's a person. You cannot get something inanimate you cannot get something animate from something inanimate. It has to have a source first, a solid source. Thereafter, you can say, okay, it may be formless, but it must come from a form first. And that Adi Purusha is Govindam, it's Krishna. So in whichever way you analyze the world, you'll always come to this point of understanding that Krishna is the source of it. There is a controller behind it. And only the Vedic scripture gives the information of who this is. So it's very important that we try to analyze reading in this way. Like this verse was saying, one in full consciousness. If the consciousness is not full, then your realization will be partial also. And it will start from Pratyaksha and Anuman. And by that, it's not perfect knowledge. So we need to get to the higher level. That is only got by spiritual knowledge coming from Bhagavatam and scripture like that.
There was one more point I wanted to discuss.
Yeah, bhokta jagya tapasyanam, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all. Now, if we accept this point on the basis of scripture, as we've already done, then we'll realize that what is he expecting of us? So Lord Chaitanya then has a wonderful instruction that he's given us to engage us in the topmost service. The topmost service is that of taking responsibility for the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his instruction is to whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Jare deke tahe kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyai guru hai tare desh. Whoever you meet, just tell them about Krishna. And you'll see the magic that starts coming out of that. Because the soul is actually, he cannot relate in this world. We don't know how to relate with matter. As spirit, we don't know how to relate with matter. From the environment that we come from, the spiritual world, this element doesn't exist there. And that is an eternal realm. So when we come here, we don't know how to relate. Therefore, we have to be injected with the false ego. And that gives us a sense of identity. And under that misunderstanding, we relate with everything in this world. Because we don't know how to relate with matter. It's something total foreign to us. So spiritual life, spiritual knowledge educates us to that level, to come to the spiritual level of consciousness and understand who is the controller, who is the supreme enjoyer, who is the supreme controller. And by just doing this simple task of taking responsibility, we all have different responsibilities, right? It's responsibilities to ourselves, to our families. But we also have a higher responsibility. Just like there's a nice American Indian saying that around every man there's a circle. And that circle will expand first to himself, then it grows bigger to his family, then it goes bigger to his community, and then it goes bigger to the whole world. So we have to expand that circle like that also. To take the understanding that everybody's in need of this knowledge. This is why they're suffering so much, not understanding the reality of life. Where's the knowledge? Like Prabhupada went to Massachusetts Institution of Education and said, where's the faculty that's teaching about the soul? Let's get this understanding clear first. If this is solid, then our foundation is unbreakable, because then we can act. And how? In full consciousness. Otherwise, it'll be partial acting, because we will be separated by activities in the material and activities in the spiritual. And that's Priyarata's situation. And we see, we'll end on this point, towards the end of the chapter, it actually affects him. By relating with the family in an intimate way, and with material nature as his praja, what happened to him at the end of the chapter? He lost his full consciousness. And again he went into material nature. He realized, and then he realized, oh, my consciousness has dropped. And then he said, I had enough of this. I'm going. I did my service. I did my duty, but now it's pulling me back. That's the nature of matter, material energy. It just pulls us back. So although we want to use everything in Krishna's service, if the proper guidance is not there, even Priyavrata Maharaj felt the power of Krishna's energy can pull you back. Don't underestimate it. It's divine. Daivi Aisha Gunamai. It's divine energy. We are just marginal. Sometimes we there, sometimes we here. Our constitution is marginal. Our consciousness shifts like that. But this energy doesn't do that. It's divine energy by Krishna. So if we don't understand the nature of it, there's no way we can try to transcend it. And the easiest way to transcend it is to engage in Krishna's service. Take on some responsibility that he has given. And it's a wonderful chance right now with this Bhagavad Gita marathon that we're on. Great personalities are realizing the value of this book, Bhagavad Gita, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll just end on this one point. There's a very noble person who passed away recently. He was even a president of a country. Anybody know or heard? Yeah, Nelson Mandela. And what's little known is that he also studied Bhagavad Gita. So there's great... people are realizing the value of Prabhupada's books. Just 2 years ago, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj told us about the story that happened in Russia, right? Where they tried, some religious sect, they tried to stop the Bhagavad Gita. All the other Bhagavad Gitas are okay. But this one, by Swami Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, as it is, that should be stopped. Why? And then automatically you say that, people are going to say, why that one? I want to see it. And then they didn't realize what they did, because they became the biggest book distributors of that marathon. Because people started to buy, we want to know, what's in this Bhagavad Gita? And they started to, it became like one of the biggest distribution of Bhagavad Gita at that time. That's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. They got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even though their consciousness was wrong, like Putana. So this is aho bakiyam stanu kala kutam. This Krishna's mercy comes in such great form. And Lord Chaitanya, what is the greatness of Lord Chaitanya as an avatar? What is his greatness? He has to do something great. Varaha lifted the earth, and the other Lord Nrsimhadev showed protection to his devotees. So many great avatars show so many things. What is the greatness of Lord Chaitanya? He is using the lowest class of people and giving the highest level of knowledge. And we are recipients of this. And the Bhagavad Gita, people are realizing it now. This man, this Dr. Nelson Mandela, he was in prison and he had a friend who was an Indian lawyer. And he would read Bhagavad Gita. So he would read the verses of that, and nobody knew this until one day Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was asked to liaise on behalf of ISKCON with Nelson Mandela. And Maharaj quoted a verse from the Gita, and Nelson Mandela finished it in Sanskrit. And then he quoted and said, how do you know this? He says, well, you know, if you have 27 years of time, just sitting in a prison cell, you have a lot of time to think about things, you know. And he was impressed with this to the degree that he says here in this quote that Bhagavad Gita is one of the only spiritual texts that kept him sane for all the years that he was imprisoned. Now, if that's just sane sanity or peace of mind, to have peace of mind, everybody's after this. That's the lowest level that the Bhagavad Gita gives. This is the verse Prabhupada quoted. Bhokta jagyata pasyanam sarva loka maheshwaram surita sarva dehanam gyatva mam shanti mrityati. Shanti mrityati. You'll naturally get peacefulness because you understand who's the controller. So let's be part of this mission by sharing this knowledge. Let not lose this chance. We always say that if Lord Ramachandra can use monkeys in his service, surely we have some value. Right? So thank you very much. We'll end here. We're over time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande.